At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hello, friends. We're back again. It's Fightful.com. It's October 17th, 2024. It is time for your TNA Impact post show. No Ring of Honor tonight. Wishing our pal Kate the best. And they'll be back hopefully next week. They're going to take this week off. So it's just us, you and me. Oh, and Chris.
And you and me.
No matter how we roll the dice, this episode is back. Fine. Chris is fine. Chris the Star is here as always. How are you doing, my fave?
I am the proverbial ball of energy and anxiety, but I am here to talk about TNA wrestling and to yuck my cares away. How are you, Joel?
I am doing well, thank you. I'm super thanks for asking. Go on, but I'm not going to. I've been up since 6 a.m. It's 10 o'clock Eastern. Let's hit it, shall we, please? Go ahead, leave a thumbs up on the video if you haven't already. It's early days. You should be doing this. And also, you should subscribe to us here at youtube.com/Fightful. We do a lot of wrestling content, whether it's WWE, AEW, TNA. Hell, we even have Maple Leaf Pro's own Scott D'Amore. Why is this relevant? Because, well, they're running a show this weekend. Sean Ross Sapp did an interview with Scott that's either just dropped or is about to drop, and you should go check that out. If you want the notes, it's over on FightfulSelect.com. Best $5 in the business. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But Scott and the gang have a big Maple Leaf Pro show coming up this weekend in Windsor, Ontario, and some people are going to be there, both in attendance and at the matches. So go check that out. And yeah, we'll talk about Bound for Glory because we are just over a week away. We're what, 2 weeks almost?
Yeah, I feel like I'm looking at my thing and it's the 26th and today is the 17th. So it's 2 weeks away, roughly.
A Saturday evening pay-per-view. Myself, Cresta, and Steven Jensen will be here. That's the plan, to cover Bound for Glory. Lots going on tonight to get a set for that show. Overall, we'll give our thoughts throughout. And if you want to give your thoughts, you can go ahead and leave a super chat any amount, get your question or statement read on the air, or you can go over to humperchats.com. Cresta, tell them the story.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and those beyond the non-binary, thank you, Joel Pearl, for that one. You can mosey on down to humperchats.com. We keep a little bit more of that proceeds over there. You put your dollar amount, you put your comment like, hey, why does tuna fish taste like tuna? We don't know. We'll give you our 2 cents and an opinion. If you keep it wrestling related, we like that because it's jazzy. Again, that's humperchats.com. See you there and wear a sweater.
You know that I put tuna fish in my Kraft dinner or my mac and cheese for you Americans? Is that too much? Is that okay? What do you think?
I don't think it's terrible because on rare occasions, I do like a macaroni salad with a little bit of tuna in it. So okay. I don't hate it, but also hot tuna like that, disgusting. I'm not judging.
Not so bad. You try it out sometime. Get the flavored tuna. Get the garlic spicy tuna. That's the good stuff.
That actually sounds good.
I'm telling you, it's worth it. I get it. The hot tuna thing is a little weird. Just think of it as chicken. You'll be okay. I promise.
Do you remember the meme when Jessica Simpson thought that tuna fish was chicken because it was chicken of the sea? Or does that make us look old?
No, I still call it chicken of the sea sometimes.
Okay, yeah. Come on, chicken of the sea.
We're already off to a great start. Cresta, what did you think overall tonight's episode of Impact?
I shouldn't have done that face. My face betrays me every time.
Listen, it's like being on the panel of a Univision town hall. You just can't hide it.
It's one of those things where it's like, I thought tonight the things that were good were fantastic. And the things that were bad made me have to do what I like to do when I don't like to critique bad wrestling or things that I don't like. Let me not say bad wrestling because I'm not a wrestler. Who the hell am I? Shut the hell up. But I just turn my brain off and suspend my disbelief a whole lot. And even that, I was kind of like, oof and yikes. That's just me. And, but that's why we're here, because you guys like my 2 cents and it doesn't make a dollar.
No, the dollars are what they give us to do this show and do the super chats and the humper chat stuff. This episode was an episode. It's a little frustrating. I think I mentioned this multiple times that, you know, due to everything that happened with Hurricane Helene, they had to move over a lot of stuff. And I understand completely that timing had to change. They had to cram 4 weeks worth of shows into 3 weeks. That includes the build to a pay-per-view.
Yeah.
Hard to do that. This particular week, they did a lot in terms of getting matches set. But there are a lot of questions on the table that I hope that they either clear up by the pay-per-view or before.
Yes. Most
things include the main event. Now, I said this last week, this episode is a monkey's paw for me. We know that I can now say it and fully admit Ahil Divakingo is coming back and he's going to challenge Speedball Mike Bailey for the X Division Championship. That was my hell yeah, let's go. And then on the other side, I knew that Frankie Kazarian pulled a referee jersey out of his trunks at the end of the tapings and said, I'm going to be the special guest referee for the main event at Bound for Glory. And I said, what the frick are we doing here? I can't swear yet. It's only been 6 minutes. And then I thought to myself, well, we do have to talk about JBL, the elephant in the room. The JB elephant is what we will now call him.
You ate that.
Thank you. So that's probably going to be a part of it. But at the time I was like, why would they do this? Why would they just randomly have it? And it got even more confusing when they set it up as Santino having no idea and not liking Frankie Kazarian. And I said to myself, well, then who approved this? And then I saw Joe Hendry on social say, who approved this? At which point I said, oh, it is part of the story. So we're going to talk about that because let's face it. That is the main event for Bound for Glory. The actual main event tonight was Matt Cardona versus Nick Nemeth for, I shit you not, the 31st time in singles competition between these two. That was the main event of TNA Impact tonight.
31st?
They faced each other as Dolph Ziggler and Zack Ryder 28 times.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's not what I was watching, baby. I'm sorry. I was watching it. Another two times.
Once in GCW, and then they did another one on a show that I'm completely blanking. This was the 31st singles match between these two men. So I don't have much to say about the match itself because you could go back in the archives and watch the other 30 instances of this match.
Mm-hmm. I think I just might.
But it's pick your poison. I understand why they put it together. But I do not understand why that had to be the main event. That speedball match could have been the main event.
I agree with that 4,000%.
But then you have to factor in the Frankie Kazarian reveal, and then you're stuck.
I mean, if you want to talk about the main event first, we could totally do that. Because I have feelings, opinions, and thoughts on a lot of that, including Frankie Kazarian being the special guest for Bound for Glory. I mean, special guest referee for Bound for Glory. I swear I can talk.
You know what? Let's jump around for a change. Normally, we'll go segment by segment in chronological order, but I'm okay. Let's start with this. Nemeth defeats Matt Cardona. That's the big thing. Listen, not much really matters in the actual match until PCO arrives, takes out the security that Matt Cardona comes out with because he's afraid of PCO, and then really Nemeth takes advantage. Knick-knack, paddywhack, Nemeth gets a win. So now, if you want to talk about the match itself, we can then get into all the post-match shenanigans.
I'll be honest with you. I agree with what you said. The only thing I would add is that it's fine that he took advantage because Matt Cardona did kick him in front of the ref. Also, Frankie Kazarian commentary. Whose uncle is this? I need you to come and collect your uncle because he was 1 second away on commentary from going, I don't care. It was kind of like, yo, whose uncle is this?
I understand. You have a babyface match for the world title at your biggest show of the year. To add Frankie makes sense because he is a piece of garbage heel. He also, again, I put over Frankie Kazarian when he's very good at telegraphing things in a very fun way. Mm-hmm. And how does he do it? He very heavy-handedly criticizes the referee throughout the match. And again, if I didn't already know, if I was paying attention, I would have been like, oh, I think I know why he's here now. And mm-hmm. then he does the reveal and it's a big moment. And again, that's why I'm willing to give this a little bit more credence, or at least a little bit more time to play it out. And it's going to play into the rest of what Bound for Glory is going to be. Because again, the JBL thing is absolutely part of this. You can't have him just show up a bunch of times and say, oh, it's just to pop himself. No, JBL is, there is a story here that will have to play out. Especially as JBL is the only, this is the only place where JBL has been a babyface. That's going to change at Bound for Glory. It has to.
And absolutely.
And it's either going to be that Kazarian and Nemeth are on the same page at the end of the night, or JBL and Kazarian are now friends. And
Nemeth, I was going to say that.
So going to see where that goes. I'm now leaning more towards the Kazarian gets a new friend, because the new friend is the one who got the kitty and brought the kitty onto the stream. And that's the best part of it all.
Nah, Bully Ray is letting me know that she is hungry right now, not at 11 o'clock when I normally feed her. And now she's decided to terrorize me. But no, I totally agree with what you said about Kazarian. Because I'm like, even let's say for a moment, Nemeth is like, I don't, like whatever JBL told me, jack that. I know how I want to be a champion, how I want to win. Kazarian being in there, oh, Kazarian's a piece of crap. I'm definitely going to take JBL could come to my house and slap my mom. I'm like, I'm taking your deal. And that's going to be Frankie Kazarian. So I'm not mad at it. I think if you want to keep Nemeth a baby face and make it not where you screw over Joe Hendry, where you get like, I see the vision. I can also see a vision where, like you said, Nemeth and Kazarian and JBL are now forming their own faction, much like with the, I foresee the forthcoming death of the system. This would be a great way to fill that gap if Nemeth is staying around, you know?
I don't know if the system's going anywhere just yet. I don't know yet. We're going to see.
Took my thing and debunked it in 1 second.
No, I'm not debunking anything, because this is one thing that I haven't really asked or paid attention to. I haven't been talking much about talking to people at TNA lately. I've just been off on my island doing my thing, like JBL does. Just been just doing what I want. When I was asked if I'm coming to Bound for Glory, I said no, nobody goes to Detroit. And
crazy.
But they're still going to sell out and it's going to be a great show. So really, it's fine. Yeah, someone in the chat mentioning no one's going to talk about the kidnapping.
I was like, we're going to get there. Right? Trust me, we're going to get there. Because I too have theories. He's going to go be with Taya Valkyrie in the no-no zone. That's satire.
So Cardona gets carried out by PCO to end the show before the big Kazarian reveal. Is PCO going to do something to Cardona backstage that we're not going to see until next week? And it's going to be real weird?
Yep. And I low-key live because Matt Cardona, you deserve it. So.
Shout out to Steph DeLander, who had her surgery, successful surgery. She says she'll be back in a little over 6 months. So hoping to see her back when she's ready and when she's feeling good.
Come on, Steph DeLander. We rooting for you, girl.
Made a joke about getting slipping the doctor a few bucks to get a BBL, too.
Honestly, if I'm going under the knife, just do it all at once. I don't want to do this
again. Oh, shout out to Steph. She's been very funny about this whole thing. She's put a very positive spin on it, because the first thing she said was like, going to go get my neck fixed and then get a new pair of, you know, a new pair of Tatas. If you see a girl with a new pair of Tatas, don't ask any questions. It's like, mind your business. And I just said, thank God.
I'm already asleep. Do the 2-for-1. Don't piss me off.
You know what? We love someone who takes this thing not so seriously. Mm-hmm. And she made the joke about getting a BBL on the way. Good for her. Go watch her socials. She's a good follow.
Steph DeLander is really funny on socials.
Absolutely. And so we have Cardona and PCO. They're going to do their thing. Earlier in the night, PCO had his Pick Your Poison matchup. He took on Rhino. This match was also for the Digital Media and Canadian International Heavyweight Championship. Rhino lost. So that's all you need to know. PCO wins with the PCO driver. Rhino, this is really the big news of the day. TNA announced that their Hall of Fame inductions for this year are going to be Rhino and Bob Ryder. Now, I know that you are very familiar with Rhino. I don't know how familiar you are with Bob Ryder. That's okay.
Is that Zack Ryder's dad?
It is not Zack Ryder. Zack Ryder's real name is Matt Cardona.
That's why I put my hand over my face. Like, that's a bad joke, but I have to say I'm compelled by the wrestling gods.
Bob Ryder is a prolific writer. He's passed. He passed away in 2020. Bob was very instrumental in TNA's success in the early days and up until he stepped back. Throughout the years, he wore a lot of hats. One of the big ones was dealing with travel and also a little bit of, I think there was some production work with him as well. But he was someone that very rarely had bad situations with him and TNA. And so, no, he was good. He was a good. So for him to be inducted this year is a big deal. Big part of WCW back in the day as well. Also one of the founding members of OneWrestling.com, for those who remember that website, him and Bill Apter. Apter shut the website down shortly after Bob Ryder had passed away because he said this was Bob's website. So Bob Ryder is going to be joining the TNA Hall of Fame. Very well deserved. Rhino is Rhino. What can you say? He's a former NWA World Heavyweight Champion while he was with TNA. He's a former Tag Champion. He is a Call Your Shot Gauntlet winner. He is also a winner of the TNA Turkey Bowl. The most important accolade of all. Are you familiar with this? Your face says no.
My face betrays me every time. Every time. I can't lie because you're going to see it in my face. Are you lying?
It was an annual special around Thanksgiving that TNA would have the Turkey Bowl, where a bunch of wrestlers would go one-on-one until they would have a triple threat in the final. In that triple threat, the wrestler who lost, basically the wrestler who was pinned, would have to don the turkey suit. Rhino won the Turkey Bowl. Guess who lost? You're never going to get it.
AJ Styles of 500, Joel.
Alex Shelley wore the turkey suit the year that Rhino pinned him. The other person in the match was Sheikh Abdul Bashir, also known as Sean Daivari. He was the third man in the match.
I love when I come to this channel and I come to work and I learn. Bob Ryder was really out here, though. That's amazing. I never heard of this guy. Now I feel like, to quote Frankie Kazarian tonight, a J-Brone.
No, because at the end of the day, a lot of people didn't really understand or know Bob's contributions. And that's why when he gets inducted, you're going to hear about them. And there are many of them. So congratulations to Bob and congratulations to Rhino. Rhino is a Detroit native. So for him, this is an even bigger accolade, considering Bound for Glory is in Detroit this year. It's going to be fun. The match with PCO, again, it was what it was. A lot of hardcore nonsense. PCO has a new theme, though. They've upgraded and updated his theme. Did you catch that? And how do you think?
The theme was fine. I feel like they also updated PCO's theme, too. It also didn't take him 20 years to come out.
I did say PCO's theme.
Oh, I thought you said Rhino. I'm like, is it me? Is it me, Jesus? I'm like,
if I said Rhino, I'm not paying attention to myself. It's fine.
Nah, it's all good. I could be deaf as well. Now, the match was fine. I just wrote Uncle Salt. These are two uncles who got into an argument and then went outside and let it happen. So, you know.
Seems bad. Why would you do that?
I described this match to one of my friends. Like, do you remember that argument, this internet argument where the guy was like, they talk about Glenda the Good Witch from Wizard of Oz. It's like, she came down in a bubble, dude. Grow up. And after that, they went outside and fought. And that's what this fight, that's what this was. They went outside and fought, and this was PCO versus Rhino. Well, I liked it, but it's also like, why are these uncles fighting?
Yeah, it was a perfectly cromulent match. It was just like the main event. And it happened. It was entertaining. One was a hardcore match. The other one was a WWE mid-card main event match in 2008. But I'll tell you what wasn't a mid-card match in 2008. Because really, one of these guys probably wasn't alive at this point. Leon Slater and Speedball Mike Bailey have a hell of an X Division Championship match.
Hurrah.
I was told at the tapings that this was a fantastic match. When people tell me this, I often listen, and they're often right. Speedball retains his X Division Championship. God bless commentary. I have to point this out. He said that Speedball's undefeated in singles matches in 5 months, including tonight. How many matches do you think, singles matches, do you think Speedball has had in those 5 months? Singles,
I feel like he's had a lot.
One-on-one. Singles matches, one-on-one.
My favorite number is 4, so I'm going to say 4, because I don't think I've seen him that much.
Tonight is the fourth match.
Crest of Star. I think I won something. No.
But they really found a way to make that an undefeated in singles matches in 5 months. And I was like, how many matches has he had since Slammiversary when he won the title, then dropped it in Ultimate X, and then he regained it? And I went back and I'm like, it was three. Tonight makes four.
We take those. But also, I mean, a win's a win. We take those. I don't care. If I didn't defend it all year and I defended it once and I'm undefeated all year.
I do appreciate commentary also mentioning the Leon Slater Amazing Red. Mm-hmm. You know, I know you're a big Amazing Red fan. You get to see him at House of Glory quite often. But I do like that they're making the parallels between Red and Leon Slater, both being young men going after gold. Red did it in TNA, mm-hmm. but Slater definitely will be doing it very soon.
Oh, yeah.
This match very much worked to his favor despite the loss. Give me your thoughts on the match. Speedball retains.
I will say, okay, now I will say, commentary tonight, no matter what match was on, was A1. Raywalt, Hannafin together, these two are the best worst combo. I love them so much. This match was really, really good. Did Speedball have on new gear? Is that just me? He had like these pants that were like extra wide at the feet. And I feel like he normally wears either like shorts or something, or am I bugging?
Oh, no, he's been doing his Tajiri pants for a little bit, his loose karate stuff, but these ones are new, but he's worn them before.
Okay, I say that to say tonight he was wrestling with a lot of extra stank on it. There was a time where he chest chopped Slater and you could hear that across the arena or wherever they were. To me tonight, Bailey was wrestling extra hard, and I'm not mad at it because Slater kept up with him. Bailey worked over that arm, and Slater still found ways to innovate without his arm, like when he returned the double knees from Speedball. Yeah, he returned the double knees to Speedball that he gave to him. Honestly, man, Leon Slater as X Division champion,
that's a play.
I mean, honestly, and if we skip ahead to the post-match where we talk about who they announced next for him, Vikingo, man, listen, I'm excited for that. Can we just have everyone fight forever?
I'm sure the fans in Detroit are going to be chanting that anyway. Before we talk about the Vikingo Speedball match that's made official for Bound for Glory, I mentioned that they put over Slater strong despite the loss. Mm-hmm. One of the ways that they did this was not only the style that Speedball worked in having to, and commentary did their part too, mentioning that this was Speedball slowing down Slater, which is something that you didn't expect to see because Speedball is that guy. He is fast, and he is acknowledging that Leon Slater can be faster, can be better. There was a lot of really good stuff, a lot of good storytelling within the match. I like the finish as well. Speedball hits a tornado kick, the ultimate weapon, and then hits the Flamingo Driver as well, which he doesn't do very often. He only does that when he really has to put down an opponent. He put over Leon Slater with the triple combo finish, which he does not do, and that made Leon Slater look even stronger in defeat. I need to point that out because Leon Slater is a guy worth keeping your eye on, especially if TNA retains him moving forward.
No, now that you said that, I totally see it. That's why I was thinking, like, Speedball's wrestling with a little extra stank on it tonight, and he absolutely was. And it does show a level of respect, like, bro, I respect you so much that I have to, like, really beat you up, because if I don't, if I mess up, you'll pin me, and I've worked my butt off. I'm like, where's, I forgot his name. Yeah, where's Kenny King? I say, I told you this guy was mean. Look at him.
Here's the thing. If Speedball decides that at the end of this year, when his contract is up, that he's not re-signing with TNA and he's ready to pass the torch, this is a guy that you can pass it to.
And no one would think anything of it. Like, yes, it fits. It works. I don't care. You just got here.
You can tell the story. If Leon Slater, if Speedball drops that title to somebody else and then Leon Slater captures it later, the X Division will continue to be in good hands. And not only that, high level performances will continue.
Yes. Leon Slater versus Bhupinder Gujar would slap.
Gujar, God damn, that's a name I haven't said in a while.
I saw the flyer for Maple Leaf Pro Wrestling. I was like, damn, what happened to Bupinda? He was so good.
He works explosion sometimes. He does get out there, but he'll be on the Maple Leaf Pro tapings, I think. He's going to be on the show. Anyway, looking forward to it. Someone in the chat asking, what's TNA's WrestleMania? It's Bound for Glory. It's the pay-per-view that's happening at the end of this month, and we will have a post-show for it here on Fightful, along with Steven Jensen, Crest the Star, and myself. We'll be breaking down that show when it airs. The Kingo versus Speedball Mike Bailey has been made official for Bound for Glory. Very much looking forward to this match. The Kingo had been out with injury for a while, just recently started to make his returns to various companies. I don't necessarily see Vikingo getting a victory here, but they've got a partnership with AAA. They have a partnership with WWE. Vikingo hasn't been talked about on AEW. Maybe there's room for him here with the X Division Championship. On the other hand, Speedball just got this title back. I would like personally to see Speedball hold it at least through to the end of the year and then move from there. Whatever the contract situation becomes, whatever the agreement is, I'd like to see Vikingo and Speedball have a very strong match, with Speedball ultimately getting the victory. Your thoughts on that whole matchup?
I think Vikingo, Speedball Wrestling, we the fans win. Bully Ray, please stop. We the fans win. And I am looking forward to that match. And I think that's one of the beautiful things about the X Division in general. No matter I've never seen a bad X Division match. Maybe I'm not here for that time or whatever it is, but I think that there is so much to offer in the X Division that Vikingo versus Speedball, even if Vikingo won, it would suck. Yeah, I wouldn't want that for Speedball, but I'm still going to be sports entertained. I think that Speedball should retain, and it's going to be a great match. I really don't have much to say, because it's like, I'm thinking about this match, and even thinking about it, my brain cannot fathom what these two are about to do.
What I am looking forward to seeing two men do, Josh Alexander and Steve Maclin are going to have a match at Bound for Glory. Steve Maclin comes out, he calls out Josh Alexander in the Northern Armory. First of all, I need people to understand, as a Canadian, and as Josh Alexander is as well, and so are the boys in Sinner and Saint, I believe, they're Vancouverites. Armory is with a U. It's Armoury. I don't care how you spell it in USA.
That's crazy, because that's not what I wrote.
TNA spells it Armoury. But the Canadians, we know. And this is a Canadian group, so I want Josh to go on a tear and just be like, you idiots, you misspelled it.
This is ridiculous.
Anywhere worth going is worth going in good boots, and you can find your perfect pair at Tecovas. Tecovas crafts quality Western boots for everyone, from generational ranchers and lifelong cowboys to first-time boot buyers, which is what I was up until a couple of years ago. Growing up in Kentucky, you see boots everywhere, but I never jumped into the game until I found Tecovas, and I love it. Every one of Tecovas boots are handcrafted with over 200 meticulous steps for broken-in comfort right out of the box. Whether it's a long day or a big night, your Tecovas are built to last and impress. That's why Esquire loves them and says they're the reason we keep coming back to Tecovas. They are so comfortable. Plus, with Tecovas Best in the West guarantee, you get free returns and exchanges for 30 days. And right now, get 10% off at tecovas.com/SRS when you sign up for email and text. That's 10% off at tecovas.com/SRS. That's tecovas.com/SRS. See site for details. Tecovas. Point your toes west.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Get off anyway. Of my notes, Bully Ray. Jesus Christ.
Alexander says he doesn't trust Macklin's babyface turn. And honestly, I get it. I've had enough interactions with Steve Macklin to know I can't trust him at any point. Josh Alexander points out that at one point the fans loved him, and then he put his life on the line, and he did everything, and he got the, this is awesome, and I carried TNA on my back, and I was the love and life of TNA, blah, blah, blah. And then Macklin points out the relationship between he and Alexander, and he says, Alexander called Macklin a homegrown TNA talent. And then the whole time he's trying to basically call down members of Sinner and Saint who have kind of popped up on the apron. And it's almost funny to watch him be like, it's like just kind of fake out. Just like, stop it. I'm gonna beat you. And then he mentions, does Macklin, that both men are alike. They could have been a team, but the way that Josh Alexander has been operating and the way he's been acting makes him know that they're nothing alike. And then the Northern Armory beat the shit out of Steve Macklin, zip tie his arms. Macklin remains defiant, and Alexander hits a C4 spike. Macklin Alexander at Bound for Glory is a match I wanted to see. The roles are reversed, and I'm looking forward to it. Your thoughts on all this?
So let me just say that the visual of Macklin being zip tied and C4 spiked was freaking gnarly. There's been a lot of wrestling murders going on this week. I would like to see TNA started the trend, so y'all ate that. Also, there were two things that stuck out to me the most in Josh Alexander. On Josh Alexander's side, for instance, he had said, you know, I put my life on the line and I held this championship for so long and you suck. Why would they even care about you? I'm like, yo, that's mean, bro. Like, why would you say that? And then also, him saying, like, bro, you terrorized me. You bothered me for so long when I was champion. And now I have to respect you. I'm like, he's kind of got a point there. Like, just because we had a wrestling match and I had to go away, you and I both acknowledge that we have unfinished business. Why would I be nice to all people, especially to you? So I'm not saying Josh Alexander's right, and maybe I'm a Josh Alexander apologist, and I think that's really what it is. I think I'm a Josh Alexander apologist.
I get it, though. As a Canadian, I have to do it, too.
I mean, Macklin's not wrong to an extent, and they did do Macklin dirty. He didn't need to get jumped like that. But also, nobody came out. But also, Macklin, you was messing around with Bully Ray. Why would somebody come out? Didn't you and Bully Ray pour battery acid in PCO's mouth?
Hey, man, we don't talk about that anymore. Times have changed. Yeah.
He's a change, man. Look at the rage, man.
His rage is on Alexander now and everything that he's done.
You know what? I'll take Josh Alexander for 500, Alex.
But here's the thing. And like they're pointing out in the chat, Josh makes sense in his promos. And you want a story like that. You want a story where both men, while they're being garbage human beings, they have their reasons for it, and the reasons aren't entirely awful. It's the same thing with, we're going to talk about Masha Slamovich and Jordynne Grace and what's going on in their world, because both women have reasons to be loved and hated and respected and feared, and it's going to be a good match with a good story, much like what they're doing with Macklin and Alexander. There is history between both these two men and the two women that I just mentioned. Let's just get right to that sit down. Matthew Raywalt sits down with Jordynne Grace and Masha Slamovich. Masha says that she wanted to be a supportive friend to Jordynne Grace during all of her success instead of coming after Jordynne Grace in the title. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, that's a really good point. And then Jordynne Grace kind of fires back and says, well, no, because you went to work in the tag division, Masha. You worked with lesser opponents. I couldn't say no to WWE. I wasn't going to do that. And then Masha replies, and then again, she's a perfectly logical statement saying, I did what I needed to do to keep the spotlight on me while you did what you did to keep the spotlight on you. They mentioned the Bloodsport match where Shayna Baszler and Masha Slamovich went to town on each other. And Jordan Grace was there as part of Masha's, you know, entourage. Grace puts over Masha's rise in TNA. Masha does a similar thing and then says, it drove me to show the world that I can beat you now. And Jordan Grace says, I'm happy you found the best version of yourself, but I'm going to beat you again like I did 2 years ago. And Masha says, well, I'm going to do it no matter what. I'm going to beat you. I really liked this segment. I really liked this this interview. The acting was not great, but I'm just going to, whatever. I'm just going to leave that alone. But the content and the storyline made sense. You know that you're going to cheer for one of these women, and you're not going to be wrong if you pick either of them. I like this. Your thoughts?
I'm in real life getting bullied by a cat. I'm so sorry. That's what I had to view, because she started turning it up. No, I thoroughly enjoyed this. I think that it was acted the way it needed to be acted, like two friends bickering, because that's what I heard, two friends bickering. I understand Masha's point completely. It's like, yeah, I want the title, but we're friends. And if I say I want the title while you're doing the thing, then I look like a hater, and I'd rather not be a hater. And also understand Jordan's standpoint too. Yeah, we're friends, but I am not gonna not take an opportunity because you might feel bad. You got to work that out with God, therapy, and Jesus. That's not me. I like this. I understand both sides of the table. This match is going to be a good match. I could see Masha beating Jordan here, and I wouldn't be mad at it. I think Jordan could beat her. No matter what, I think I win here. You know what I mean? Like, I'm the winner. I mean, as a sports entertainment fan, as a woman who likes, as someone said, skirt steak, I'm the winner here. I'm the winner. I win.
It makes perfect sense for Jordan Grace to pass the torch. It's no secret that at the end of this year, she's going to WWE. Mm. It is very openly suggested, discussed, that barring unforeseen circumstances, Jordan Grace is going to leave TNA and move to WWE. Now, there's a part of me that thinks, okay, how cool would it be for TNA if she moves over to WWE, gets the contract, shows up with the Knockouts World Championship, and then maybe drops that title shortly afterwards at like not hard to kill because the Rumble is after that. Mm-hmm. But at one point, that's where my argument kind of falls apart, because it wouldn't be on a pay-per-view. It would be on one of their monthly specials, and I don't know if that's what they want to do. So I don't know what's going to be working the best for Jordan Grace and her Knockouts title run, but I think Masha should be the person to take it.
I agree with that. And selfishly speaking, I would like another 2 out of 3 match between Masha and Jordan, because I think that these two have fantastic chemistry, much like Jordan and Deanna. But again, if I also like to see big meaty women slapping meat. So the idea of Jordan Grace and Rhea Ripley sends me into an irrational rage. I'm not mad at this. I know whatever match that they put on is going to be bloody. I'm trying to think what other pay-per-view, to piggyback off of what Joel said, would be the next biggest pay-per-view, and Bound for Glory is the big one. Is it? Unless you do it on Slam, unless you do it on Slammiversary. And I don't think. You know, and I feel like Slammiversary, we just had it not too long ago.
That was July. The next time you would do it, the next pay-per-view was Hard to Kill, and that's January. The Rumble is February 1st this year. So Hard to Kill is normally in the first 2 weeks of January. And if you want Jordan Grace to carry the Knockouts title into the Rumble, she would have to go past Hard to Kill with the Knockouts title, and then drop it the next time, which would be Rebellion, and that's April, which is also WrestleMania season, and I don't know if you want to do that game.
I think the moral of the story is we love Jordan Grace, and we're trying to factor her into the best plans humanly possible.
I think it's just time for her to drop the title, have those last few matches, because after that it's going to be the show at WrestleCade, Final Resolution, and the show at WrestleCade is Turning Point, and then they've got Final Resolution in December in Atlanta. Just have those last two matches. When Deonna Purrazzo was on her way out, she had a tag match at Final Resolution in December, and that was it. She got beat up by Giselle Shaw. Remember her?
Yeah.
And then that was it. That was the end of their partnership, and Deonna went on to work in AEW. So I wouldn't mind seeing Jordan Grace kind of wrap up. They did it with Trinity as well.
Yeah.
Trinity drops the title of Jordan Grace. And then afterwards they had their back and forth going into Florida. And then Trinity was in the Royal Rumble by that year. So there's always room to do something like that. I don't necessarily
think wrestling.
Yeah. So I don't necessarily see Masha in the Rumble with the title. It could happen. It would be different. I don't know if Masha Slamovich is the kind of wrestler WWE is looking at right now. I think they would have already had her in.
Personally speaking, and this is just personal, I'm a little frustrated with WWE's booking of some things, so I wouldn't want Masha over there right now. That's just me.
We did get a super chat from Patrick Moore saying, you two have both the acting and the content, and go Masha. I'm all for it. Thank you. Appreciate that. You know who else has the acting and the content? Ariana Grace.
Back. Who is this girl, according to Frankie Kazarian?
I love that she's like, and she starts and she's like, well, I don't care. And she's just like, bitch. They announced that the Call Your Shot gauntlet's going to return through this segment with Santino and Ariana Grace. The Tumblr is back. Santino saying, oh, we don't have the same big, well, I can't do it with the accent. Basically doesn't say they don't have the analytics in the computers. And then the Tumblr is back, the old Rumble style. And then he makes a really funny comment where he's like, oh, it's like my grandfather used to say. And then he says the thing, and then Ariana's like, no. And she's like, and he's like, yes, because if you don't know Italians, it's a no is the grandfather. So Ariana Grace, I'm explaining the joke at this point, but do you understand?
I got it. I'm also again I'm getting terrorized by Bully Ray, who's like, I don't care about TNA, make with the cat food.
2 years ago Bully Ray would have been all over that.
Bully Ray would have put her through a table just because.
Would have happened. Bully Ray is too busy doing his own thing on satellite radio now. Either way, Kazarian comes in and then he says, I got to be in this gauntlet. And Santino's like, GFY. And says, well, I'm going to be in the main event. So, okay. That was that. But really, the important thing was Ariana Grace at the beginning of the night or earlier in the night introducing Brinley Reese, her new best friend. I love it. Ariana Grace coming out and saying, I want you to meet my best friend from NXT. And she introduces Brinley Reese to take on Ash by Elegance. Ash by Elegance gets the win. Iceman's microphone is modulating hard and the audio was garbage. Sorry if I'm going to point it out. I'm going to point it out. Heather Reckless has been sent to a doctor in Boca Raton to finish her makeover.
Isn't that Dr. Finkelstein?
It is Dr. Finkelstein. They just didn't use his name this week. Ash wins with the rarefied air. This is a comedy match. For all intents and purposes, it is a funny little match. They do a strong off with the posing and the push-ups. And, you know, Ash is like, I am the strong one. And Brinley Reese, who is doing a bodybuilder gimmick in NXT, says, no, I am the strong one. And it's cute. It's stupid. It is what it is. What do you think of this match?
I'm only going to tell you
bury
guys.
It, Cresta. Bury
oh,
it.
Let me get my golden shovel. Let me get my silver scissors. I'm only going to tell you guys the part I like. And yes, I'm a coward. I don't care.
Was it the finish? Was it the end of the match? My favorite part. The end of it.
So let me say that Ash's gear is always... it's always pretty good. I liked her gear tonight. It was a very nice soft nude color on her, and the pearl appliques, nice touch. Brinsley, this girl is a clown. When they started doing the pose off, I was into it. George Iceman, I'm sorry, the personal concierge.
Yeah, they hate us when we still call him Iceman, but I don't care.
I gotta tell you, Mr. Concierge, you have the curse of greatness. Because I, at this point, I feel like no matter who they put you with, they were going to have a hard time. Like, after tonight, this man barely did anything. And every time the concierge was in my camera view, I was like, I want to watch him. So I think that the problem here is that you're too good. You have the curse of greatness. I don't know what to tell you. The match itself, it's a comedy match, I guess. And that's it.
Post-match. They announced that there will be a VIP makeover launch party by Elegance next week. And then Ash attacks Reese with the lip liner and then bites her. Zaya Brookside makes the save. So I assume it's going to be Reckless Elegance versus Brookside and Reese either this week or at Bound for Glory Countdown. Either way, we got to start getting Reckless Elegance some wins so that they can capture the Knockouts tag titles.
Don't hate it. I guess that's a good way to get it started. Also, again, talking about commentary... when Ariana Grace came out, she said, this is my best friend. Tom Hannafin says, how many best friends does this girl have? Ray Walt says, she has a lot of friends. That's not anything you would know about. I'm like, yo. And then later on in the match, when Elegance is smearing the makeup on Brinsley's face, Tom is like, is that lip gloss, lipstick? Ray Walt says it's lipstick. You haven't been that close to a girl to even know. I'm like, yo, do you hate your coworker? I love these two together. Please, please. This is up there with Excalibur and Taz for me. This is so good.
They're a very good team, and I continue to like them.
I love them together. They're so good. They're so good.
I mentioned the Knockouts tag team titles. Those are officially on the line. It's going to be Spitfire taking on Chumery. Sorry, it's Wendy Chu and Rosemary. I now call them Chumery.
I thought you called them Tumery. I'm like,
Tumery? Is this something? I thought about Rose Chew, but then it sounds like a pack of gum.
Rose flavored gum.
Yeah, or it's just red. Rose.
Or I'm not like gonna hold you. I like the idea of a Rosemary and Wendy Chu.
Sure, why not? They're stalking Spitfire, and Jody's playing with a knife in the kitchen because she's bored, because that's just what Jody Threat would do. I believe it. I don't know what Danny Luna was doing, because they didn't do anything with her other than standing there, I guess, looking mean, mugging with Jody and
looking the mean.
I don't know. She could have had her working out, doing something. I don't know.
This was odd, but something about Rosemary and Wendy Chu together. I don't know. I like, maybe it's because they're both spooky girls and it's how this is Halloween, Halloween, Halloween.
It's really all it is. And then they're going to, the whole promo was no more humans. And I'm like, no more humans, but everyone's human in TNA. What are we doing? Are you vampires? Where are we going with this?
And if you say no more humans, that just means it's only you, Rosemary, and PCO.
That's true. PCO would be there. Maybe Crazy Steve.
Where is Crazy Steve being crazy?
He's got the intergender triple A tag titles with Havoc. Remember Jessica Havoc?
Havoc, come to the front. Bring her back. Bring her back.
All right. So let me get myself back on track here. Spitfire versus Chumery is made for the Knockouts tag titles. It's going to be a match that I assume Spitfire will win. And in the process, I'm sure the Wendy Chu and Rosemary will turn on each other, probably Rosemary on Wendy Chu. Feels like those two will have a match on the Impact that comes after this, because it's Halloween night, so they'll do a spooky match between Rosemary and Wendy Chu. That'll be the return of Jessica Havoc. We'll put Rosemary and Havoc back together. Reckless Elegance will go on their tag team run when they get the tag team titles from Spitfire, and then we're back to getting the Havoc-Rosemary train together on Reckless Elegance. And we're back online, baby.
And now we're back in time.
But I mean, it feels like it sometimes with these people.
Honestly, opening up with a Rhino match, I mean,
hell of an opportunity right there. Mike Santana beat up Brian Myers. They didn't even start the match.
That was great. If you were talking about a comedy match, this was superb.
He wraps the chain around his arm at the end of it, hits Spin the Block, does Mike Santana. And then Santana's like, I'm sick of the system. I'm sick of you. I'm sick of you. And I'm especially sick of you, as he points to JDC. And he calls out Moose. Moose does not come out. So Santana goes backstage to find Moose and gets blindsided by Moose, who hits Mike Santana with a bat, as one does. This is a match that I feel like should be a Bound for Glory, but we've got a lot of grudge matches suddenly appearing on the card. I don't know what we do, especially because I think it should be a hardcore match.
So let me tell you that I knew this was going to be comedy when I saw Moose with that damn mustache. Every time I see Moose with his mustache, I know he's about to be on his extra bullshit. So I think that this should be on the Bound for Glory card as well, because of all the feuds and the blood matches, this is the one that's been building up the longest. Mike Santana hitting everyone with the chain. He said, let's skip a step because you're going to get me DQ'd anyway. I lived. That was fantastic. Before the bell even rang. So technically on my record, this is not a DQ. You said this is not happening on Bound for Glory, correct?
As of right now, it has not been announced for the card. It should be, for all intents and purposes. I'm just taking a look to see if there's any addition from TNA. And no, they haven't made the match from what I'm seeing. and we didn't report that it's going to happen either. So someone in the chat mentioned make it a steel cage match. There's a lot of gimmick matches at that point because you're going to do Full Metal Mayhem. Mm-hmm. And we're going to talk about that in a minute because they did a segment with ABC and the Hardys. So you've got Full Metal Mayhem. You've got a special guest referee. You've got Collier Shawn Gauntlet. You've got the PCO match, which is inevitably going to turn into a hardcore match. Mm-hmm. Like you can't add more and more and more for a match like this. I understand that a steel cage keeps the system out. Maybe you just run that on the Halloween Impact, like tape that match the night after Bound for Glory.
Yeah, I could see that being like the Halloween one. Mm. Now that I'm saying that out loud, why not have the Monsters Ball on Halloween instead?
Well, because they've already made that match for Bound for Glory. Because Monsters Ball is the PCO Matt Cardona match.
That's what I was thinking. Like, instead of having, I don't know. I'm not a booker. I'm just a jabroni who watches wrestling.
Well, that's the thing. You can't not put Cardona on the pay-per-view if he's healthy. You got to have him. You got to have him on the show if he's ready to go. So I don't know. I don't know where it's going to land. I don't know if they're going to add it to the card next week when we get there, but it could be. I just don't know if it's too much at that point because there's already a lot of gimmick matches on the card and they could just shoot themselves in the foot with too much of that.
Well, we will see. I will say the Call Your Shot Gauntlet, I'm not worried about that one so much. I put that in the same caliber as Ultimate X match. I know it's going to be, it might be a lot of people, but it's going to be a good match. So I'm not too worried about that unless like something carny happens.
It's also on the pre-show, the Call Your Shot Gauntlet. Because that's
okay. Maybe I'm a jabroni. I am a jabroni.
Oh no, they've got eight matches already plus the Call Your Shot Gauntlet match. So one of these. It'll go till 11 o'clock Eastern, as they usually do. Those pay-per-views tend to go until about 11. Okay. So kind of what I expect. Hardy's and Ace of Bays, they do a Hardy's segment where they're in a car that's kind of moving, but kind of, it is very strange, very trippy. But this all comes to the Hardy's and Ace of Bays having a little segment where they announce that it's going to be Ace of Bays and Hardy's teaming up against the system next week. It's going to be, oh my God, who's in this match? All four members of the system. Okay. JDC, Myers, Moose, and the other guy, Edwards. I did it.
I'm nodding yes. I was muted because my cat's turning up. And I'm like, Jesus. We're going to have to think, yes, but it is Edwards.
And I'm sure Mike Santana will get involved in some way to set up the match with Moose at one point. Then we got my favorite part of all this, as they're having this little love fest and respect fest, they all hate the system, blah, blah, blah. And then Matt Hardy starts calling it, it's like, this may be our last run. This may be our last chance. Guys, this is probably our last TLC. And then Jeff Hardy stops him because it's Full Metal Mayhem, because they made the announcement that Full Metal Mayhem this year will go back to featuring the tag titles, in this case, hanging above the ring, and therefore you have to get it with the ladder. And I made the joke. I'm like, this is just TLC with extra steps.
Yeah. I respect it. I respect it.
And I love the match. Just like, yeah, it's TLC. And Jeff being like, use the branding, brother.
Copyright infringement, brother. That doesn't work for me.
It was fine. It was what it was. But yes, next week on the show, it's going to be Jody Threat versus Wendy Chu, Josh Alexander versus Jonathan Gresham in a match that I was told was excellent. By the way, FightfulSelect.com, best $5 in the business. We had the news that Jonathan Gresham's contract is also expiring at the same time as Jordan Grace's. So go check that out. System takes on ABC and the Hardys. And then the dual contract signing between the World Championship match and the Knockouts title match. It's going to be a fun episode, the go home for Bound for Glory. That's us. We did it.
Jeez.
Did we forget anything on this show? We bounced around for a change.
Bouncing around. I'm double checking. I'm reading everything. No, I think that was it, because this show, not for nothing, was kind of short in the sense of content wise, in my opinion. Oh my God, Bully Ray. Was kind of short in content, in my opinion. So I'm not mad at it. I can see the bulk of the stuff happening next week, Thursday. And then Bound for Glory just being, no, that's not, is that the go home?
Yes, next week is the go home for Bound for Glory.
It is. And then the one after that is Halloween. Do you want a turkey cat? Because I don't want this cat. She's so bad.
Nah, I'm good. You got to keep the cat.
All right, well, I tried.
Tell them what you got going on. It's time.
Guys, I got bad knees and bad jokes. I'm Crest the Star. You can find me on all forms of social media at Crest the Star, except for Facebook, because I don't have one, and except for X, because that's Crest the Star. But with the changes to X, you can find me more so on Blue Sky at Crest the Star. Anywhere, again, Crest the Star, every Thursdays and every Saturdays, I'm here on Fightful with Joe Pearl on Thursdays, going over TNA. Saturdays, it's Iridian and Rick and myself going over all things Collision. Not the next Saturday, though, because I will be here with Joe Pearl. And we're going to be talking about Bound for Glory with Steven Jensen. And we love a good thruple moment. Besides that, there's a link tree in my bio at on Twitter. Joel, what you got going on?
You know what's funny is you mentioned the Blue Sky thing. Last night when I went to bed, normal night, woke up and I'm like, why do I have so many notifications in my social folder on my phone? And then like, why are they all Blue Sky? And then I realized, oh, right. The guy who runs Twitter did something stupid and everyone's moved to Blue Sky and I have a bunch of new followers. So thank you for that. And then I couldn't log into Blue Sky because so much of it crashed the servers.
People are sick of that guy, but you don't be sick of Joel Pearl.
No, don't get sick of me, but you can find me at Joel Pearl, J-O-E-L-P-E-A-R. I'll listen. Most of my socials are locked down for the time being, but if you're okay, I'm probably going to follow you, or let you follow me or whatever it is. It feels so stupid. I get in the weeds every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday over on Fightful Overbooked. Go hang out with me there and Jeremy Lambert. We're going to be live on Friday morning as we are 10 a.m. Eastern until noon, talking about wrestling, talking about life. I got into a whole conversation with Jeremy about what it was like living in the dormitories at Ryerson University, the former Ryerson University in Toronto. We then found out that John Pollock from Post Wrestling and I went to the same university, were in the same program, never crossed paths.
That's crazy.
It was 2 years between us. He graduated 2 years before I did, but still very strange. Either way, we'll be back Thursday. Will Cresta and I to do the TNA post show, the Ring of Honor post show. We'll be back as well. So we'll have that for you. And like Cresta said, myself, Cresta and Steven Jensen are going to do the Bound for Glory post show. That is Saturday, October 26th. We'll be live after the show to talk about that and plenty more in the world of TNA. Until then, for Crest of Star, I am Joel Pearl, J-O-E-L-P-E-A-R-L, ladies, gentlemen, friends beyond the binary. We'll see you in the next one. Cheers.
Bye.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.